Hello, Jets fans. It's me, David, and I'm joined this time for the second episode of our week leading into the grand final. And I'm joined now by Jason from the For Fuck's Sake podcast, the Melbourne Victory podcast. Jason, how are you doing?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on. Great to be on and great to chat again in great circumstances as well.
Yeah, it's terrific circumstances for both teams. Congratulations on the victory, making it through to the final. It's certainly, how many finals is this that the Victory have made now?
That's our sixth grand final. It's a little surreal. Wow. I think it's one of the best ones that we've made. I mean, we've had some great experiences winning in semi-finals, but that was fantastic to actually get a win on Saturday night against Sydney FC. That was absolutely, you know, something that lasts in the memory bank for years to come.
Well, you've had two big games, first of all, in the first week against Adelaide, and then you to prevail in extra time against Sydney. How were your nerves with that last one in particular? Because watching as the neutral, I was on the edge of my seat personally.
Well, I think there's always a sense of inevitability about the best football teams in the world and how they always, you know, find a way to get a goal back or to win the game. And that had that sense and that feeling on Saturday night when we were up 2-1 with a few minutes to go and Sydney were pushing hard that they'd just get one back. So when they did get that one back through the Terry Antonis own goal, it was just devastating for everyone. It was just good to get, you know, a win against the adversity that we have to face.
Terry Antonis, I mean, it was a wonderful redemption for him to concede that last goal. As Jets fans, we're watching this and it goes in, and we're seeing our home grand final flash up before our eyes. You're seeing your spot in the grand final possibly be put into jeopardy. But on our podcast, we spoke briefly about this game, and I likened Terry Antonis' run very similar to that of Tariq Elrich in the 2008 semi-final against the Raw.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how familiar you are with that goal, but while Elrich didn't have the ball, still that late lung-busting run to essentially put their team through. It was a wonderful redemption for the player.
Certainly, and Terry Antonis played such an amazing game before that own goal that he really did deserve all the plaudits of that goal. He did deserve to score the winner and become very much infamous in VUC history or famous in terms of he'll be, you know, remembered as a club legend for so many years to come. The same way James Robinson was. I think James Robinson played about two or three games for us in total, and he scored that header back in 2007 that put us through to a home grand final. And, you know, he didn't need to do anything else for the rest of his life, but he just lived off that fame for the rest of it.
So he's probably still drinking for free somewhere in Melbourne?
Most definitely, yeah. He'd certainly be remembered fondly around VUC circles, that's for sure.
Finishing fourth in the regular season, did you think that Victory would be preparing for a grand final?
I think there's always that hope that maybe the team would get their stuff together sooner rather than later. But it was just such an up and down season, and we dealt with so many different things, whether that was international duty or players leaving, like Jason Guerrier and Mark Milligan. It just never seemed like it was going to finally, you know, get together. And I think to a certain extent, we're still not playing amazing football, but we are getting the results now. And if it, you know, turns out to you know, culminate in a championship win on Saturday night, I'm not too sure how I feel about it. I guess just a sense of relief that finally the team actually got their act together.
Yeah, well, from the neutral perspective, I think that the Victory certainly took a leaf out of the approach that the Mariners and the Jets had taken against Sydney FC this year, where they took advantage of the wide spaces and avoided the midfield. Is that what you saw as the key to them getting the result against Sydney?
Yeah, certainly. And we've just changed up our game style a little bit over the course of the year. Kevin Muscat came under fire during the year and, you know, was almost, you know, a few fans calling for his head. But he did change his game style a little bit. So he, you know, turned away from that possession-based football and started to play on the counter a little bit. So letting the attack come to Victory and then reacting to that. And it seemed to work. There's a lot of players who have really benefited from that since the mid-year adjustment. It's been minor, but it's been great. So, I think it's been, yeah, been fantastic that Kevin Muscat has shown that flexibility, and it's, you know, a lot of the plaudits do go to Kevin Muscat for that.
Heading into Saturday's grand final, it appears from all reports that Reece Williams is out How did James Troisi and Theo Harris as well pull up? Because I saw that challenge Wilkshire put on Theo Harris, and in the footage after the game, he looked to be sitting down and nursing a left ankle injury. I personally thought it was a shocking challenge. But how are Victory looking in terms on the injury front?
Well, yeah, I think Reece Williams is gone, and if he's trying to get up to play for it, it could be very much to our detriment, because I think he'd be on one leg if it does eventuate that he does play. James Troisi, I haven't heard too much about. I think he should be fine. And Chrissy Theoharis, he did cop a few, as Kevin Muscat said. I think it was aggressive kind of challenges late in the game on Saturday night. But he's 18 years of age, so I think he can get up for it. He's a young, sprightly man, and I'm sure he can get up for a grand final, because he won't be playing too many minutes. He'd be probably featuring for about 10 to 15 as a substitute. So hopefully that's enough to get Chrissy Theoharis over the line.
Mm. Reading the Victory Forum, it looks like there's a large contingent coming up from down south. It promises to be a big night in Newcastle.
Yeah, it's one of those ones, you know, you don't get these opportunities very often to take a whole bunch of Vuk fans. I think we're expecting around about 4,000 Victory fans to head up to Newcastle via Newcastle Airport, and also some flying to Sydney and then driving up, like myself and the rest of the podcast boys. So we've tried to get up there any way we could, and it's going to be a great experience. I think it's going to be a little bit different to last year, which we all travelled up to Sydney, because obviously it's a much larger city. This will be a bit more compact, and I'd sense it'd be a bit more of a community feel on Saturday night, you know, combining both the Vuk fans and Newcastle.
Oh, there's certainly a lot of hype around Newcastle. It's everywhere you go at the moment, and it's all that everyone's talking about. And yep. Speaking of the Hunter, you and I have spoken before about Victory's record in the Hunter. It's not particularly flash hot. How much is that going to count for, though, come Saturday? Is it something that you can consider, or finals, all sort of old form and records go out the window?
Ordinarily, I would have said yes, but the fact is we went to Sydney, the best team of the best of the last 2 years in the A-League, and we took it to them, and we showed that we weren't overawed by the occasion, and we didn't really care for their status as the best A-League team, as Graham Arnold likes to call them, and we really, you know, overcame the odds to beat them. So I think the boys are going to go in with a head full of confidence, thinking that if they could pull off that, then the Hunter Valley curse is not any kind of thing to be afraid of.
Yeah, well, look, it's an interesting point, because we've had that same sort. We've broken a few of our own curses over the last couple of years, so I can relate to what you say. ACL qualification is also still viable for the Victory if they're to win. How fitting would that be for you to take that qualification? Because if you don't win, it goes through to Melbourne City. How fitting would it be if you were victorious to take that off your biggest rival?
That is the absolute cherry on top of the cake of winning a championship on Saturday night, to rip away an ACL qualification or ACL spot from Melbourne City. That would be just the icing on the cake for sure. We've struggled this year, I guess, every year that we're in the Champions League to try and keep up with the demanding schedule of the Champions League and also the A-League. We did a little bit better this year than previous years, but sometimes qualifying for that ACL is sometimes a hindrance, and I'm sure you guys will experience that next year as well.
Yeah, well, at the very least, we have the half spot wrapped up, so yep. that's an opportunity for us. An interesting event happened during that clash with Sydney, with JP and Dean Anastasiadis mm-hmm. being sent off late in the match for an altercation with David Carney. And look, that's probably something that stems back to the days that Carney and JP were both in Newcastle under Scott Miller. That's the way we see it anyway.
Is there some tension there? Was there some pre-existing tension?
So Carney left halfway through that season that JP and Miller were in charge,
right.
Or were the team leading the Jets. So he left halfway through the year. I'm not reading into that, but it just seemed to be very convenient that they're both there. I mean, is that going to be a massive loss for Kevin Muscat on the sideline to have two of his lieutenants missing?
Well, JP DiMaggio is an interesting one because he was very much an integral part of Victory's most recent championship in 2015 and then left, and I think he went to Newcastle in the year after, didn't he, 2016?
And I think he went down the year before.
Year before, yeah. So I think he certainly left the year after we won a championship, and Kevin yep. Muscat really, really seemed to miss his input and his guidance on the sidelines, and then that obviously came back the following year and started to get the ship back on track and made a grand final. So I think that, you know, I'm not a coach myself. I'm not sure how influential having someone next to you is in terms of just, I guess, a listening ear to guide you and say what's wrong and, you know, just back you up in your own thoughts. But I would assume a lot of the work of the two assistant coaches will be done during the week. They'll still be part of the grand final week and getting the boys up for the game. So I hope it doesn't give us too much of a disadvantage. I'm sure that there'll be, you know, plenty of time to plan for that as well.
Is it going to be interesting from the opposition dugout, the Jets dugout, to have Ernie Merrick? I mean, he was so successful during his time with the Victory, to have him in the opposition dugout come grand final time.
I don't think it's too weird. I think it's been enough time has passed now to, you know, to get over the fact that he used to be a Melbourne Victory coach. I'm really pleased for Ernie because when he did leave Melbourne Victory, his results weren't awful. The reason why he did leave is because he wasn't getting the results in Asia when the new chairman came in, Dier Pietro, who placed such a high emphasis on getting out of the group stages in right. Asia. So I think he led the team to a grand final just the previous year after getting the sack. So he seemed like a spent force at A-League level for such a long time, and, you know, he went to Wellington Phoenix and was kind of plodding along there. So for him to come to Newcastle and turn around a team that was seemingly a basket case and turn it around to a powerhouse of Australian football again is something that I'm really pleased about for Ernie Merrick.
What's going to be the key if Victory are to get up on Saturday night, the key to their success?
Midfield. That's been the key all year. You know, the times that we've been down, it's because our midfield has been performing, and the times that we have been, it's because, you know, they've been stepping up. So Cavalieri, who's had didn't have a great start to the year, and, you know, there's still the jury's out if this is his last game of professional football, so he needs to step up. Antonis, who has been a rock for us since signing a couple of months ago, needs to step up in that central midfield as well. And then it's all up to James Tarisi as well. He's had a really indifferent year, and not sure if he's worth the marquee money that he's going to be on next year at the Victory. Yeah. But he needs to step up, and this is his chance to really show himself as a big game player. And he's done that on a world stage before, you know, being part of the Asian Cup and the Asian yep. Cup final. So he's got experience in big games, and hopefully he can show his worth on Saturday night.
And I quite enjoyed his celebration on Saturday night as well. It was a bit of a good one. The Jets, if they're going to get the better of Victory, where do you see that happening?
Well, I think the fact that Reece Williams are a second best player behind Leroy George all year is going to be out is something that the Jets can look to exploit. We'll have a makeshift back four, a really young back four with Thomas Dean probably leading the line and possibly Stefan Nigro featuring at some point. So those are two young boys who haven't been in the senior squad for too long. They've, you know, come up through the youth ranks. So I think that the firepower of the Jets could really exploit Melbourne Victory's back four.
So, what's your prediction for the game?
Well, I'm not going to go up there and hope for a loss. So I'm going to say that the Victory are going to win, but I think it could be a high scoring game. This one, I'm going to say maybe a 3-2, possibly.
Wow.
Similar to last week, after extra time, so 3-2 to the Vuck. I'm hoping.
Very good. Well, mate, thank you very much for joining us. If people want to find you and follow you up, where can they find you?
Yep, so on social media, Twitter and Facebook at For Vuck's Sake. We are on Wooshka, that's where the podcast is hosted on. And any kind of podcast app that you use, you can download our big grand final special, which is coming up this week. And I think we've got Rodrigo Vargas, a two-time Vuck championship winner, talking to us as well. So should be a good episode.
That sounds excellent. Thank you very much, mate, for joining us. Safe travels up to Newcastle, and we'll see you and the 4,000 other fans in Newcastle on Saturday.
Certainly. Thanks, David. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.